take your Bible and turn to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. Like many of you, I am going on several walks these days with not much else to do. And it is nice to get out on these warmer days especially and to take some walks. And of course, with my little kids who are riding bikes or bikes with training wheels, it is nice to get them out and get some exercise so they can sleep at night too. And we've been doing that. But along with going outside and walking, especially walking on streets, you have the added concern of drivers, cars on the road. And even in residential areas, you have some cars that pass by. And you can get lulled into this sense of, well, they will notice my kids or they will notice me and they will drive around us. And people are you know, paying attention when they're on the roads and will go around. But it's also a good reminder, especially for little kids, to let them know that, hey, it only takes one who is not paying attention. It only takes one individual to not be looking out for you. And they will hit you, and who wins in a car against a bike? And definitely the car. And that's what as we turn to Ephesians 6, and we look at the armor of God in verses 10 through 18. Sometimes we get to this feeling in our lives where, you know, things are going well or things are okay, and I don't really need to worry about any spiritual warfare, or we even forget about the fact that we are in a war. And we don't remember that Satan is attacking us. Sometimes his attack could be just that, to lull us into a sense of security that we are okay and that we'll be fine. But that is not true. It only takes one attack for us to be harmed or defeated. So we have here Paul speaking to, in conclusion, in this the book of Ephesians, to these believers, and he is going to speak to them about the armor of God. He's using the imagery here of a Roman soldier, and really I think it's more of a way to remember the armor that God provides for us than it is to really parallel where these pieces of armor fit with the Roman armor. So it's more of a memorization device than anything else. But it is helpful for us to know and to see that we have armor from God. God wants us to be protected, and we need to use the armor that he has given us. Let's read starting in verse 10 of Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 10 down through verse 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith which is with you, will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. As we look at this passage of Scripture, and we see this armor, we need to understand that we in this life can have victory, but it only comes from one source, and that source is God. We need the power of God in our lives, to have victory over Satan in our life. Every piece that he mentions is necessary. We need it all. Every piece is necessary. I'm going to look first of all in verses 10 through 13. The armor provides the power of God. The armor provides the power of God. Realize your need. You need God's power. It is strength for your weaknesses. That word there at the beginning in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. That word there, to be strong, is actually passive. It has the idea of let God strengthen you, right? We need God to strengthen us. It is not something that we are, that we can increase our strength. No, we need God to do that. Be strong in the Lord. Be strengthened in the Lord. Let God strengthen you. Verse 11, he continues that thought, that the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. We need all of it. As he continues down at the end, he uses that idea there of the whole armor once again in verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. So the goal here is to stand. The goal is to make it. It is, as you look at these pieces of the armor, to be still standing is success at the end of the day, at the end of an attack from Satan. To still be standing. As I mentioned earlier, part of Satan's strategy could be to leave you alone so that you let your guard down, right? In verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. These are not seen enemies often. These are internal wars and struggles. Even in our mind, Satan is attacking. And we need to be aware that we are under attack. Just like when my children are out on the street riding their bikes, we need to be looking at drivers, being careful, not expecting them to see us or notice us, and to train our young children to be on the defensive. So is true with our lives. Yes, there can be times when we aren't as seemingly affected or under attack, but just realize it is coming. And to be ready for Satan's attack. The armor of God, the armor provides the power of God. We need all of the armor. Let's look at this armor that is provided in verses 14 through 18. And I see here seven pieces of armor. Seven pieces, six of them are given a parallel in the Roman armor. And then the seventh one, prayer, mentioned in verse 18, is not given a parallel. And I think that more has to do with this is a memorization tool, and there are six pieces that he's using, but he has seven pieces of the armor of God that we have spiritually. And so just throwing that out there, the imagery isn't the be-all, end-all. It is just a helpful tool to get us to realize what the spiritual armor is. So let's look here as we see this. And you see the way it breaks down here, at least in my mind, is he has the center one is the one of most importance. And you see that in verse 16. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith. So I'm going to say it breaks down here into three categories. Three at the beginning, that middle one, the shield of faith, and then three at the end. So we're going to break that down into three parts here. We need the whole armor of God every day. Those first three armor pieces we are going to look at here have this understanding. Decide to walk with the Lord. Verses 14 through 15. Decide to walk with the Lord. Really, Satan's first plan of attack is to get you to walk with anything else. Anything other than God, even good things, we are distracted by. We can be distracted by work, by doing our best at work, by schoolwork, by sports, by news outlets. They can become more important to us than our walk with God, relationships with family, friends. They can be out of proportion, let alone fitting in with the world and just giving in to the world's standards and not living for God's standards. That idea there of walking with the Lord, we have here, first of all, the belt of truth. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. This is a life characterized by this truth. Living it and speaking of it. So the idea of what you are saying, that you are characterized by truth. The Word of God is truth. And when we know it, when we are saturated and live by it, it just comes out of us and we speak it. What we pay attention to, what we care about, we will speak about. That's true of each one of us. The things you care about, when your sports team does well, when your favorite player has a great night, you are looking for opportunities to tell others about it. When you saturate yourself in the Word of God, when God's Word, the truth, is true in your life, you want to tell people how God is working. So in what you say needs to be characterized by truth, by the truth of God. Secondly, the breastplate of righteousness. This says the idea of how you live. Living righteously, doing what is right. So we see, first of all, what you say and what you do. Decide to walk with the Lord in what you say and what you do. And thirdly, this the shoes, the gospel of peace. This has the idea of fellowship with God. As you look at that in verse 15, having your feet, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This really has the idea there of the gospel of peace. What is the gospel giving to you? What does it give you when you have received or know or meditate on the Word of God? What does the gospel give you? It gives you peace with God. That is what Christ paid for on the cross. We were enemies with God. in our sin. But Christ died on the cross, paid the price of our sin, that we could be reconciled to Him. And because we now have this relationship in Christ with God, we can have a relationship. We can move forward, decide to walk with the Lord, prepared with the peace of God through the gospel. Secondly, we see here we need to decide to trust in the Lord. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now remember here who he's speaking with. This is the Ephesian church. Okay, so if he's speaking to a body of believers, what do they already have in common? They are believing in Christ. They have faith in Christ. So I would argue here that he's not speaking of that initial conversion experience of faith in Christ. What he's speaking of here is a daily reminder, a daily choosing to trust in Christ today. Day to day. Not doubting God in your life. Not doubting that He is present and alive and working in your life. Not doubting that He cares for your every decision and every action and every breath you take. When things are difficult, when we have time to ourselves and we sit and reflect, and then we look inwardly and we begin to look at our lives compared to maybe other people's lives. And we say, well, things are more difficult for me than for someone else. Or things are not working out the way I had planned personally. Things are not working out the way I had them planned professionally. This illness that I have is a real struggle. Why would God give it to me? There are other things like depression or anxiety. And at least to a certain extent, part of it has to do with our not choosing to trust God day to day. We have this shield of faith, the God that has saved us. His promise to keep us day to day, that He will be with us always, even to the end of the age. Do you believe that? Are you trusting in that? Is that your faith lived out? With that, with this deciding to trust in the Lord daily, it will quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. I've heard this shield described as different shields that the Roman soldier would have to them. This particular shield would be essentially like a big square, almost as tall as a man and as wide as a man, and would be covered in this leather that was treated in such a way that when a dart would hit it, a fiery dart or an arrow, a fiery arrow would come and it would put itself in it. The resin or whatever they would have on that leather bound shield would quench that fire and would protect the man and the men behind it. It's interesting, as you have those shields and you see these in battlefronts portrayed or illustrated for you, if you had several men standing in a line side by side with these shields. It would create essentially a wall. And then you'd have a second row behind them, and they would put theirs up. And it would be essentially like a roof over both the men in front of them and themselves. And they would have essentially a temporary shelter with these shields together. I find it interesting, maybe as a side note, this imagery here of this shield of faith that we are called as an army to stand shoulder to shoulder. And when you have a few shields together, how much more effective can they be at keeping you safe? It ought to be our prayer that we could be together once again, and that God would allow us to be together soon. And I look forward to meeting together again with you, and I'm praying for each one of you. So we see, first of all, that we need to decide to walk with the Lord with those first three pieces of our armor. We need to decide to trust in the Lord with the second, or with the fourth piece, the center piece of the armor. And thirdly, we need to decide to live for the Lord as we look at these last three pieces of the armor. We see that next piece here in verse 17, take the helmet of salvation. This helmet gives us an awareness. With salvation, a confidence that we have hope, right? Or a confidence in what Christ has done for us, power over death, eternal life, long-term security. I played a couple of sports that required the use of a helmet. One in particular, that probably more than the others, was hockey. And of course in hockey, especially the lower levels, is required a helmet. And that helmet protects your head from injury, especially early on from falling and hitting your head. And injuring it in that way. And even to this day, in certain situations, when getting on skates and not having a helmet on, there is kind of this uneasiness because you're just used to having the helmet protecting you. And it gives you this confidence when you step on that slippery, hard sheet of ice. That, hey, you know, really, even if I fall or something happens, I'm going to be okay because I have this helmet. And as you get older and you start getting into checking leagues and start hitting and the full contact aspect of hockey, the helmet becomes even more of a necessity. But you're not overly concerned about self-preservation because of that helmet. The same is true with the idea here of our salvation. You know, what's the worst that Satan can really deliver to us? Take our physical life? Well, what does that mean? Being absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, wouldn't that be terrible? say that tongue in cheek, right? That would be the best. That is our consolation. This life is nothing compared to what we will experience in eternity. And yet this life is a blessing. We see that secondly under this third grouping, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Now, often we are told that the sword here, this is the only offensive weapon that we are given in the armor. But I'd argue that, yes, a sword can be offensive. I would argue that it looks to me like the sword here is being used defensively. And remember, what Paul is saying is our goal of this armor. What is the goal of this armor? Verse 13, take up the whole armor of God, every piece, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. What is victory here? Standing. We need to remember that as we move forward in our lives and as we go on our Christian walk, we are not going to be able to defeat Satan. We are incapable of doing that. Christ, our Savior, will defeat him. We are called to stand in this warfare, to hold our ground. We even see this with Christ as he is tempted in the Gospels. The way he uses the Word of God is to defend himself from the temptations that Satan sends his way. And yes, essentially it does deflect the blows of Satan. Using the Word of God as the sword of the Spirit, we need to understand there is no room for self-indulgence. No room for self-indulgence. Think of how Christ is tempted there by turning the stones into bread. Is there anything wrong with eating? Why was it wrong for him? When Satan said, well, just turn those stones into bread. It's this idea of this self-indulgence, of just taking something because you can. In that situation, it would not have been right for Christ to take it. Use the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And finally, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Realizing all this armor is for me, but I still need the help of God to be successful. I need God's help to wear it, to use it in the right situations. And it is God's power working in me that will give me success. And also to realize, as we look at verse 18 again, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication, for who? For all the saints. Realizing there are people around us as well that are in this war that may be under attack in ways that we are not. As much as I need the Lord's help, they do as well. Remembering the fellow soldiers around us. So the armor helps us here in all of our life, and we need to decide, first of all, to walk with the Lord with the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace. We need to decide to trust in the Lord using the shield of faith. Decide to live for the Lord with our helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and prayer. Put on the whole armor of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the hope that we have. That yes, we are in war. And we are under attack. Lord, keep us on guard. Help us to remember that as things come our way, they may seem benign, but really it only takes one thing, one attack to overcome us. Strengthen us. To live lives that would be worthy of our calling. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.